Today, if you couldn't figure it out by the songs we've been singing already, we talk about worship. That spiritual discipline, that mark of discipleship, which we call worship. One of the things that we need to start with is understanding what worship really is. Oftentimes we define it ourselves, or we bound it, or we forget about it. But let's find out in the next few minutes what worship really is and should be. It comes from an old English word meaning worth shaping, or to give worth to God, not to ourselves. Because our worth is found in God, not in ourselves. The act of worship is to provide reverence, adoration to God in humility. The Greek word that we find used in the New Covenant, or we call it the New Testament, is proskuneo, which really you can think of as to prostrate yourself, right? Did I say that right? Here's why I asked Kathy if I say that right. I oftentimes confuse prostrate and prostate. There's a hymn that we have that sings, "Where with angels prostrate fall," and I swear to you, I am so afraid, I'm going to start talking about when the angels' prostates fall. Truth. When we look at this act of worship, there's really two parts to it. First of all, I need to ask, where are my former Catholics? Oh, we got a bunch. Okay, you guys are fact-checking me on this, okay? The two aspects of worship that we need to be conscious of are adoration, which is to serve and worship God alone. Proskuneo, to bow down, to prostrate oneself before God. And veneration, which is to serve or worship things through which we get a clearer picture of God. Okay, did I get that right? Pretty much former Catholics? Anybody gonna knife me up here? Okay, good. We have fought over this within the church. I mean, bloody fights over this. Back in the Middle Ages, particularly in the Eastern Church, there were a lot of things called icons. And the icons would represent the Holy Family or saints, and they would be in the chancel area, which would be before the Lord's table or the altar. And the idea was that these images, these icons, would help us to be able to understand the story of people's lives as they were impacted by this great God. See that? But then in the Protestant church, the Protestant church, we started to say, no, these things get in the way. And we want to worship God directly, without venerating other people or other things. It is the adoration of God that we seek. And from there, we started becoming confused about things like what the church really is. Newsflash. This is not the church. I wish you could see the stunned looks I'm getting from some people. It's really funny. What is that thing that goes kind of like this and then that? Help me. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. You are the church. You are the church. This is the building we gather in. It is sacred space. It is holy space. but it is not the church. You and me, all of us, we are the church together. We gather here. We come into this place, each for our own reasons. We come bringing ourselves in different ways. We come seeking different things. A lot of that has to do with where we are on our spiritual journey. We'll talk about that in a minute. But one of the things that you should find every time you come into a United Methodist sanctuary is a pattern of worship. Did you know that? Well, that's right, we don't use the hymnals, we use screens, but I want you to pick up your hymnal. And I really like you to take a look at page 2. Can someone tell me what it says at the top of that page? Basic pattern of worship. Entrance. The people come in together. What does it say? In the Lord's name. Well, that sets the tone right there, doesn't it? And then it says proclamation and response. Scriptures are open to the people through the reading of lessons, preaching, witnessing, music, arts, media, all sorts of things. And then we give thanksgiving to God for all that we have learned, for all that God has shown us. And we have a communion with God. Sometimes it's actually at the Lord's table, but always we commune with God in prayer, in supplication, in humility. And then there is the sending forth. Can someone read that for me? Somebody read that, please. The people are sent into ministry with the Lord's blessing. You are sent from this place into the world in ministry. In other words, our time here is done. We are done at the gas station. We are filled up. It is time to get on the road and drive. And that's why we move from this experience into the world, to be in service to others. Now, notice that there's a difference between page 2 and 3. Page 3, it says an order of what? Sunday worship. So wait a minute. When do we use the basic pattern of worship? Each and every day. And I'll get to that in a minute. Every day we use this. But on Sundays, it spells out how we gather. Notice that it goes into a lot of different options. If you look through these pages up through page 5, you're going to see a whole lot of options for the way that we can worship together. Which one's right? All of them. All of them. As the people are called to give their reverence to God in awe. And that is something that we need to be mindful of. Now, these different varieties, you can put your hymnal down for a minute, we'll need it again in a little bit. These different varieties of the way that we worship really reflect how we feel about God, how we feel about ourselves, and where we are in our spiritual journey. Let's start with the idea of attending a worship service for the first time. Encountering it for the we've all done it, right? Everyone's done it. We're all here. Either it's your first time or it's not, but it was your first time somewhere, right? And we had feelings when we walked into that worship service. What were some of the feelings we had? Scared. What else? Steve, what? Hopeful? Bingo. What? Unworthy. Yes. What else? That scared thing, Howard, let me tell you about my scared. I was scared that I was going to come in and sit in somebody's seat. And I was going to hear about it. It is so nice to have you with us today, but if you just move a little, you're sitting where I sit. You don't think it happens? Oh, it happens. Oh, yeah. What if you got kids with you? What if you are daring to come into sacred, holy space with children? And you are afraid that your child is going to be a child and do those children things like crying or laughing or fidgeting. And what happens in some churches when that happens? You get the stink eye. Right? You know it. I know it. I've seen it at me with my kids. But then what happens? In my experience, and realize I went to a lot of different churches because I was in the military. And sometimes they were on base, sometimes they were in the community. And I've experienced a lot of first visits to churches. And even after the stink eye, which is a lot more prevalent than you would want to believe, somebody would come up and would say, you know, I'm really glad you're here. Don't worry about those self-righteous folks and their stink eye. Because I'm really glad you're here. Glad your children are here. And I hope to see you again. And that was Jesus for me. That was the experience of Christ's acceptance and love. And that is some of the things that we fear, that we hope for. We hope to have an encounter with God, don't we? We hope to be able to find God in that space and in that time. And then we also may feel unworthy. We're bringing ourselves into this space. And if we really are reverent, if we're really adoring God, and if we're really humble, we're afraid of how God may receive us this day, which is why we need the good news. Amen? Then we fall into patterns. Oh, do we fall into patterns? We find a place that is comfortable to us, that we're not sitting in someone's seat. We make our own little mark on the pew. And we become accustomed to it. We kind of like the way things go. We like music. We like everything that, and we come back, right? And guess who teaches us how to worship? Those who are around us. The people who are around us teach us what's important. The people who are around us teach us how we worship correctly. Now, certain activities change between churches and services. In some churches, if you go like this during the worship service, it means somebody's robbing you. Right? But if you do this in other services, what does it mean? Praising God, right? Lifting myself up before God. So it's not uniform. What we do is not uniform. In some church services, if you actually sing, you're really worried about how others hear your voice. Or, you know, like me, you've got a voice where it sounds like a BB rattling around in the bottom of a bucket. But I'm still going to raise it. Some people don't. Because they are intimidated, they're afraid, they're all these other things. Are you starting to see a pattern? As we learn about worship, we're evaluating how we feel. It's centered on self. I'm not saying it's self-centered. What I'm saying is it's centered on self. Our likes, our preferences, our preferred timelines. All of this becomes what we learn about the worship experience. But here's something I'm going to say that may surprise you. None of that has anything to do with worship. None of it. Because worship is 100% about God. We present ourselves before God. We empty ourselves of all the things that we bring into here, which would interrupt our very presence in front of the Creator of the universe. And we prostrate ourselves through body, through emotion, and definitely in spirit. And we humbly adore our Creator and Savior. That's why we're here. All the rest of it is human stuff. But we don't really start to get that until we come to church regularly and we begin to feel the Spirit move within us. We begin to feel uncomfortable. If you notice, everything we've talked about up till now was about our comfort, about how people are squirming, about our comfort, about what we want, about how we want it. But sometime during that process, we realize that this discomfort is not made to force us to leave or force us to get angry or to fight back. This discomfort is brought about by God in the form of the Holy Spirit to help us grow, to help us go deeper in our understanding of Jesus, to help knock off our rough edges so that we know how to engage in the world with love and humility, to show adoration and reverence. And when we realize that maybe some of the discomfort that we're having is for our good, we start to go even deeper. And we ask what the spiritual gifts are that we may have so that God may use them to help others go deeper in their faith as well. How might God be asking you to assist others in their worship experience? Those days where I had people come up to me and say, "Don't worry about the stink eye." And the person really meant it. "I'm so glad you're here. Come back. You and your children are welcome." That was truly a spiritual gift to me from that person. Something I needed to hear. And that person was the work of Christ in my life that day. So how are we the work of Christ in each other's life? How are we sharing this time and space together, helping each other take the next step in our faith journeys? It doesn't happen when we sit there and say, "Well, you know, I don't like the music," or, "You know, it's too bright in here," or, "You know, I don't like the screen," or, "I don't like the pastor," or you name it. That's not what matters. And if you're asking those questions, my response to you is, what are you doing to worship God through that experience? Or are you too busy evaluating your experience to really worship God? This is our journey into deeper understanding of what worship really is. We end up developing a lifestyle of worship. We end up moving from worshiping an hour a week into worshiping God every day, living a life filled with worship. Remember I said we need the hymnal again? If you could look at page 876 real quick. And what does it say at the top, somebody that's there? orders of daily praise and prayer, which starts off with a call to praise and prayer, a morning hymn sung or recited, a prayer of thanksgiving, scripture and reflection upon it, a song of praise, which can be a canticle, it could be a psalm, it could be anything, and then prayers for the people. Take a look at these. Praying for the people of this congregation every day. Those who suffer and those in trouble. The concerns of our local community. My brothers and sisters, how can we pray for it if we don't know it? The world, its people, and its leaders. Wow, isn't that something to pray for people instead of condemning the person on the other side of the political spectrum? Actually praying for them. And not praying that they might start thinking like I do, but really praying for them. And the church universal, its leaders, its members, its mission, and then the communion of saints. All of those things, each and every morning. And then offering the prayer that the Lord has taught us and receiving the blessing for the day. You know that you don't need someone to administer the blessing to you to receive it, right? All you have to do is acknowledge it, that God is blessing you as you enter your day. And then what happens right below that? An order for evening prayer and praise. That looks remarkably like the morning liturgy. Except in this we give thanks to God for the day and to give us good rest so we may serve again tomorrow. This is how we live our life in worship. Now, I'm not sure if you do this, but I'm going to invite you to think about what your next step in your worship life may be. From that first moment where you were formed and normed into church, meaning the body of Christ, right? To living each morning, each evening in praise and worship to God. Where are you? And what is your next step in faith? In 1998, Matt and Beth Redman, who were in their home church in England, realized that they and others in their church were going through a period of apathy and self-centeredness in worship. Matt and his pastor, Mike, prayed together. And Matt was a songwriter, and so it gave birth to a new song. Perhaps you've heard it. When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come. Long to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you require. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. So I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it when it's all about you. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and though I'm poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, You're looking into my heart. So I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. Because it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.